Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone, visitors as well as home folks, to the Sunday school portion of our service this morning. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19, a thankful heart. Are we thankful this morning to be in God's house? Amen. It's a blessing. Let's not take it for granted. As I looked over this passage, two verses stood out to me, and those two verses were 17 and 18. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." Can you just feel the sadness in Jesus' heart? He healed 10, but only one returned for thanks and gave him thanks. I pray that none of us here are like the 9 that didn't return. I pray we're like the Samaritan that ran back, fell down on his face, and glorified God. But I also looked at verse 19, and he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole." This leper was not just cleansed from his leprosy. He also was made whole, and his soul was saved. I shall begin reading with verse 11. "And it came to pass, as he went into Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourself unto the priest.' And it came to pass that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole.'" At this time, all who can kneel for prayer.
Good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name again this morning. My voice is starting to feel like I'm going to have a cold coming, so I apologize to the sound technician in advance. I'll try to stay close to the mic. Luke 17, 11 to 19. I would like to say, first of all, that I really appreciate Brother Doug's encouragement in his prayer, and that has meant a lot to us as we've come here this morning. I am used to a lot of comments and interaction as we go through the lesson. And so you are welcome to stop me at any time and insert your thoughts and your questions, perhaps. And we can search God's heart and his word together. I would like to do perhaps more of a topical study than expository this morning, and hopefully share with you a bit of what I've been learning about gratitude. I'm going to use the word thankfulness and gratitude synonymously. And my goal for the lesson this morning is to answer the question, what is true gratitude? From our lesson title, we get the clear message that gratitude is more than words. It's a thankful heart. There is something that comes from inside. And to emphasize this point, you can picture the most well-mannered child, perhaps, that you can imagine playing happily, and suddenly maybe his grandpa gives him a piece of candy, and imagine that face brighten up, and maybe hopefully he says it, "Thank you." And you can sense that he appreciates that. Perhaps at the end of dinner time, that same child is sitting there cramming in the last soggy bits of asparagus and mutters "thank you" to his mother, because he knows he should say it before he leaves the table. Do you think the attitude is the same? I propose to you that it is not. In the first case, he actually had a spirit of gratitude. In the second, I don't think he did. At least I didn't when I did that. Notice that the words are the same. He had a duty, that's right. He did it out of duty. Can duty contrast with a motivation of gratitude? Can they go together? My first point in answer to that question, what is true gratitude, is simply this. True thankfulness or gratitude is an attitude of the heart. It has to go beyond the words and the actions. The words and the actions and the expression are important. If they're left out, there's something missing. God has many times commanded thankfulness in Scripture. We're not going to take time to go through that. We could go through dozens of references where thankfulness, we're told to be thankful, to praise. And hundreds of references that talk about the example of someone who praised God. It's important to God. But when he says you're to be thankful, clearly he means more than just say thank you. So that's what we're going to talk about. If it's an attitude of the heart, we could spend our entire lesson thinking about the words and ways God has directed us to express ourselves, but the matter of the heart is of primary importance, so I'm going to focus on that this morning. As we think about that question, consider the story that Jesus told in the next chapter, in Luke 18, beginning in verse 10, he gives us a little story. He says, two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, give tithes of all that I possess. And we always keep going and get the lesson, you know, and from the faith of the publican. But was the Pharisee truly grateful? He said, thank you. Yeah, I see some heads shaking. No, there's something wrong. The words did not match the attitude. Notice back in verse 9 who Jesus was speaking to. To certain unto who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Pharisee did not credit God with his accomplishments. He credited himself. And he used the words, God, I thank thee, to add a veneer to look good. But it was not from the heart. His prayer did not express gratitude, it expressed pride and contempt for the publican. So think about this. Where is true gratitude always directed? Does anyone want to comment on that? To God. True gratitude cannot be directed to oneself. We have a word for appreciating my accomplishments. That's called pride. Okay. When we appreciate the accomplishments, the gifts, and what others have given us, that is gratitude. And the ultimate gratitude is to God, as our brother has said. When I emphasize the importance of my own accomplishments, and I am thankful for what I have done, and am exalting that, that's called pride. I'm not saying that we should never be. We use the word proud in a couple different senses. I'm not going to take time to go into all that. There's a place for being satisfied with a job well done. And sometimes we use the word pride for that. But to use it in the sense of attributing the gift to ourselves, that's wrong. So, boasting, yeah. Yes. Yeah, the pride that the New Testament teaches against is a boastful pride. Thank you. So, in answer to the question, what is gratitude? I would add, true gratitude directs the credit and the praise to someone else, especially to God. And we see this exemplified in our lesson with the leper that was cleansed. I guess I'll call him the cleansed leper for lack of a better term. I hate that he's identified by being a leper. He's actually more identified by being a man of faith. So you'll understand what I mean there. But he stopped and turned back in order to give the credit and praise to Jesus, his healer. Any other comments as we... Yes. Yeah. He was a Samaritan. And that wasn't something that's going to change. That had to do with his heritage and his birth. But he was viewed as the Jews in a poor light because of that. You have any more comment on that?
Yeah, you said the Jews had such a contempt for the Samaritans.
Yeah. Samaritans were treated with contempt by the Jews, and perhaps that was a part of what Jesus was addressing in the next chapter, what we talked about with the two prayers.
Those two prayers, though, it goes deeper. Mm-hmm. Because one man was saving himself, the other literally said, be merciful, he really said, be propitiated. He was looking for someone to take care of his problem.
Yeah.
In other words, he looked at the propitiation, someone to take away God's wrath upon him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it goes into the work salvation or
yeah.
Someone sacrificing.
Right.
It goes deeper than just the
thankful. Yes. In the story of the Pharisee and the publican that we talked about, the Pharisee was attributing his salvation to himself,
right.
And the publican was asking for propitiation from God. And I hope to show as we go on that that intertwines with the idea of gratefulness. Because true gratitude directs credit and praise outward, it is the opposite of pride. We already alluded to that. But it's also the opposite of contempt, because those go together. I think we recognize that. To lift oneself up often is done by putting others down. And those two attitudes go together. They're really, I think, flip sides of the same coin. It's how you look at yourself versus how you look at others, but it's one attitude. Gratitude, then, is the opposite of that. So what is the essential nature of gratitude? We said a moment ago it results in expressing heartfelt appreciation. The word heartfelt implies that something is felt. Does gratitude involve your emotions? Sorry? Yes. Yeah, it involves humility, most certainly. Humbling oneself. Noah Webster wrote in his Dictionary of 1828, gratitude is an emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or benefit received. And we could go on. A sentiment of kindness or goodwill toward the benefactor. And he goes on. So, as we've already said, it's directed outward, as Webster wrote, is toward the benefactor. And it is an emotion of the heart. Would you agree with that? Any comment?
The scripture says, this is love that you keep my commandments.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Don't automatically start off with a gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
But if you obey God, you receive that, then you become thankful.
Yes. We can obey by giving thanks without feeling the attitude. But if it is commanded to be from the heart, with all your strength and all your soul and all your mind, if your feelings were not involved, is it complete? It's not. And that's what our brother's saying, is that obedience is something that can help bring the rest and help bring the change. I would submit to you that gratitude goes deeper than the emotions, but it does involve the emotions. And it goes deeper in the sense that it comes from the place in our heart where our emotions also originate, if that makes sense. You ever think about why you feel the way you do? Where do your emotions come from? We try to control them sometimes. Sometimes we can. Usually, at least once in a while, we find we can't. Or at least we didn't. Why is that? Does gratitude also come from that same place? I want to pull an example again from 1 Chronicles chapter 29. David there was preparing a way for his son Solomon to build the temple. And he had donated rich treasures from his personal possessions, and he invited all the people of Israel to give also, and they did. And in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 9, it says, "Then the people rejoiced that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart," in other words, with their whole heart, "they offered willingly to the Lord. And the king, David the king, also rejoiced with great joy." And then David follows that with a prayer, which is an amazing study. And I'm, for sake of time, just going to read a few verses. In verse 12, he says, "Both riches and honor come of thee," he's praying to God, "and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might. In thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own we have given to thee." Did you ever follow up your expression of gratitude by thanking the person for the privilege of giving to them? That's what David's doing. He's thanking God that he was able to give something to God. How about that for an attitude? God could have chosen not to give his wealth to David, but he had given it, and David felt genuinely thankful. And he acknowledges that both riches and honor come of thee, thou reignest over all. It's God's decision. God is sovereign. We use that word to mean God has the authority and the ability to do whatever he would like to do. And David recognizes that, and I think that is a very important component of gratefulness. It starts with the deeply held beliefs of my heart, in that David, for example, believed in his heart that God is really God. He is sovereign, and he is the ultimate giver and owner. And because he chose to give it to me, even though he wouldn't have had to, that inspires, if you will, an attitude of gratefulness, because I recognize it as a free gift. Does that make sense? Anybody want to comment on that? David recognizes God's sovereignty, first of all. God had freely chosen to give David the riches that he had. David understood he did not earn those things. He had not manipulated God into giving him those things, which is often a component of other religions and of any idolatry, is we as an attempt to manipulate God, I think. That's another whole thought. I'm going to leave that pass. Gratitude, I think, then, comes from acknowledging in the heart and believing in the free will of the giver, especially of God, because he has the most, he has ultimate free will. But even as relating to another person, if I, we can illustrate by considering the opposite. What if you do not believe that the giver chose to give you the gift? Will you have gratitude? Do you feel overwhelmed with gratitude when you go to the gas station and slide your card, or maybe you pay the attendant and the gas pump turns on and the gas comes out? It's a machine, right? You put your money in, you get the product out. You go to a Coke machine, you put your money in, it comes out. Is that gratitude? Do you feel grateful for that the machine worked? I think typically the attitude I see is anger if it doesn't. Because it's perceived as injustice. It's only just that I get the result of what I paid. If I receive something from somebody else that I paid for and that I earned, I don't think there's a whole lot of heartfelt gratitude there. Does that make sense? Therefore, true gratitude in the heartfelt attitude requires acknowledging the free will of the giver, that it was a free gift. Another thing to add on to that, what is true gratitude? I think it comes also from believing in the generosity of the giver. Sometimes we see people suspecting motives. And that's another whole subject we could park on for a long time. David, as well as the leper that had the faith in our lesson, acknowledged that the gift that they received from God was a good gift. And in those two cases, that was pretty obvious. And the leper knew that he had a death sentence unless Jesus would heal him, both physically and eternally. And so he recognized that it was a good gift. But again, we can illustrate the importance by looking at the opposite. If nothing kills gratitude faster than finding out that the giver is expecting a favor in return. You ever get in one of those situations? That's called a bribe. That's when you get a gift, but you find out, we call it an ulterior motive. You find out there's something they want. I appreciate it when my neighbor lends me a shovel if I need one, but if I find out then he's looking to borrow my car, it doesn't feel quite the same anymore. True gratitude requires me to acknowledge and believe in the other person's generosity, as well as their free will, as we mentioned before. Giving with no strings attached, and we have to acknowledge that, and that's part of gratitude. The man who returned to Jesus understood that Jesus had given him the gift of healing, not for an ulterior motive. The other nine that kept on walking, as far as we know, were still healed. Jesus did not heal them so they would come back and thank him and take away their healing if they didn't. He gave it as a gift. And the one man acknowledged it.
Mm-hmm. Are we to bargain them maybe sometimes? Mm-hmm. I mean, this was a Samaritan. Did that Jewish teaching have more of a meaning to them than the Samaritan?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, the 10 lepers were instructed to go to the priest.
Verse 17, Jesus said, where are they?
Where are they? Yeah. Yeah. A brother suggested maybe the nine were so focused on their obedience that they just zeroed in on they were going to go to the priest. Another brother's pointing out Jesus expected them to come back because he says, where are they?
One more thing, if I may, I submit to you that thankfulness is a maturing, a growth process.
Yes.
One of the most meaningful messages that I've heard this week was when Brother Robert talked to us about the conscientious objectors and what we may have to face yet, because that means so much to me in my life. I was not very thankful the day I got my draft notice. Mm-hmm. But I went and served for 2 years at Norristown, and it changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I grew in gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am extremely thankful for that experience.
Thank you for that testimony. A brother says he was not particularly grateful to receive a draft notice, but the 2 years that he served in alternate service changed his life. And so that, I think, illustrates what I was saying in believing in the goodness of the gift. When I get that notice that I'm going to have to serve, that don't look like a good thing. But he's saying, looking back, it was a good thing. And now he can feel the gratitude. Thank you.
It's interesting that the one that returned actually received additional healing.
Yeah.
By faith hath made thee whole.
Yeah.
That wasn't said of the other nine.
Right.
So the gratitude through pomp
brother brought up an excellent point. I hope we have time to come back to that at the end. The one that returned to Jesus with his gift of gratitude then received an additional gift. Your faith hath made thee whole. Jesus responded with another gift. Isn't that how God works? Perhaps that's not your experience of how God works. Maybe we can talk about that too. But yeah, thank you. Yeah, if we have time at the end, I want to come back to that. The response is to gratitude. Yeah. So I would propose that true gratitude is an attitude of the heart. It is directed outward to others or to God. It is a response or a belief in, a heart belief in the free will of the giver, as well as in the generosity of the giver, which indicates that they intend it to be a good gift. Well, one more point I would like to make about, that I would like to add to those is, the expression of gratitude is a gift itself back to the giver. Come full circle to what I said at the beginning about God expecting an expression to say thank you. The expression of gratitude, an expression of gratitude without a heart of gratitude, is incomplete and could become, if it's not already, hypocritical. Saying the words thank you when we're not thankful, our brother has alluded already to the obedience of doing that, and yet in many cases, if it's not the heart desire to become changed into a grateful person, it could be a bad thing. We can use those words, in fact, to express a lot of displeasure. Have you ever heard that someone say, thanks a lot? The expression of gratitude is very important to God. And the I use the term expression, not the words. When I express something, I can twist words so far that they mean the opposite of the dictionary definition. And it's the expression that determines that. Yes, it actually becomes a lie in that case. A gift given by free choice because of generosity, when someone gives it to us, they choose to do it because they want something good for us. That implies that they do not demand anything in return. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a free gift, right? It is God's way, and it is embedded in the conscience of most people, if not of all humanity, that it is good to respond in kind by giving thanks and praise where appropriate. And this itself is given by free choice out of generosity of the receiver, who then becomes a giver. You follow that pattern? So someone gives me, God, for example, gives me a gift, such as Jesus gave to the leper. They stood up, they said, have mercy on us. They're requesting something they did not deserve. And the word mercy implies the understanding of that. And Jesus said, go, show yourself to the priest. And they went, and they were cleansed. Jesus gave this to them. They did not deserve it. They did not work for it. All they did was ask. And Jesus gave it. And one returned to give thanks. This act of worship in the form of an expression of gratitude, I think, is one of the primary and most important forms of worship. We have many forms of worship. We can give God our, not only our thankfulness, we can give him our service, our work. We can give him our hurts and our pains and our sorrows. And we read that in the Psalms and Lamentations and throughout the Bible as well. But to give thanks, to give gratitude, give praise, is a very important, vital form of worship.
Verse they went, they were cleansed. Mm-hmm. Actually, the idea was not that once they arrived at the priest, they were going to be cleansed.
Right.
They were cleansed on the way.
Yes.
And to go to the priest was just proof that they were cleansed.
Yes. They went. As they went, they were cleansed. They began to obey, and the gift was given. Isn't that how God's economy works? Human economy works on payment and receipt. It's our sense of justice, which, you know, you could debate, you know, fairness, and is that really justice and all that stuff? I pay for what I get. I give money to the gas station, you know, and they give me the gas. I give money to the soda machine, it gives me the soda. I give money to the guy that, you know, whatever, takes my garbage, pumps out my sewer tank. They do their job, you know. If they don't do their job, I'm upset, but I don't really think about thanking them. I paid for it. True gratitude requires that we recognize that it was a gift, which implies free will on the part of the giver and generosity on the part of the giver. The human economy, which works on justice and paying, fosters greed. And wealth is spoiled and lost because I work and my boss gives me money because I earned my wages. And I go out and try to get the most I can for paying the least. That's what we all do. That's called good stewardship too. But an attitude behind it is a little tricky. The next guy who got paid, the guy that owned the store, he got my money for his goods, and he's trying to get the most amount of money he can for the least amount of goods. And so the human economy works on greed, really. And because everyone is greedy, it works very well. You ever think about that? Capitalism is a very effective system because it's based on a human weakness, but it works. God's economy is opposite. In God's economy, Jesus says, freely you have received, freely give. And so when we receive a gift, the gift that we give back is an abundance. It's an overflow. It's a free gift. It's not merited. It's not earned. It's not demanded. It's a free gift. And that's the kind of gift that God gives to us. As we see in the example here, Jesus promising the leper that he is made whole. And in our own salvation, perhaps the primary and highest example, the salvation that God has offered in paying the debt of our sin and adopting us as his children, the greatest gift in all existence. And amazingly, what happens? Like we said, the human economy fosters greed and wealth is destroyed, it's spoiled. A lot of times people who fail to obtain wealth fall back on destroying other people's wealth. And we see that in the wars of the world and all kinds of things. So the greed becomes destructive. In God's economy, what happens? It fosters generosity. Wealth is shared and it is multiplied. God is most honored and pleased when we humbly accept his salvation and all his other gifts to us as free and good gifts and respond from the heart with gratitude and in free gifts to others and in service to him. Amazingly, he has so designed our souls that this also results in our greatest joy. You ever feel really joyful about having gotten a good deal at the store? You feel happy. You feel glad. You feel like you got the better of the other guy, perhaps. Is that joy? I don't know. I think the joy of gratitude is incomparable to that. It's so much higher and there's a deeper kind of joy. Any comments? Excellent question. How do you react when you get a gift that you don't really like? Anybody want to speak to that? Mm-hmm. Try to acknowledge the motives of the giver as over and above the value of the gift itself, right?
And really, a valuable gift is
Mm-hmm. Even a good gift is not, in a spiritual sense, worth much if the motives are not pure. We have a problem in humanity, though. We are all sinners, and we often do receive gifts that are given with wrong motives, do we not? How then should we respond? Especially since we're almost to the second bell. There's a lot I would like to say about that. But if I believe that I deserve, that's always going to corrupt my view of the motives of the giver. If I believe that what I'm getting is just and it is what I deserve and what I earned, even if they have good motives, I'm not going to see it because I believe it's justice for them to give it to me. If, on the other hand, I do not believe that I deserve it, I believe that God is the giver of everything that I have, including the strength that I have to work and the opportunity to go and the people that I meet. Even a gift given with wrong motives can be an indirect gift from God if it's a good thing.
It's hard to discern motives.
Indeed, yes. It's hard to discern motives. And we get into such trouble when we try to judge them in a public way. But God does call us to have discernment. So it is a challenge to us. I think we can acknowledge a mixed motive. We can, and you can comment on this. I think it's okay to be partly grateful. When somebody gives me something and I know they expect something in return, I know it's kind of a bribe, but yet there is a part of them that, you know, they're trying to be neighborly. They're trying to be kind. I think I can acknowledge that and be grateful for the good part, even though I wish they wouldn't demand something in return. Does that make sense? I don't think that needs to destroy our gratitude. Very quickly, as we wrap up, gratitude is a gift. The way of thinking that God owes me something is very destructive. It's easy to think that with people and the soda machine and all that stuff. But when we imagine that God is like a person who can be manipulated and from whom we can deserve something, we're on dangerous territory. We can follow this thinking from its symptom, which is an ungrateful attitude, down to its root, that I believe God ought to give it to me. I believe I deserve it. And that is arrogance and pride. None of us deserve anything good from God. And none of us could earn any blessing by obeying. It is still a gift that the lepers were cleansed, even after their obedience. Jesus just chose to link it to their obedience, and that's what God does. But it's still a gift. The obedience does not merit the gift. Is a response. Any final comments? Gratitude is an attitude of the heart. It is directed outward. It's a response to the free will of the giver, to the generosity of the giver, and it is an expression which is a gift back to the giver. And that is a challenge I leave with you to participate in God's economy of freely giving and of freely acknowledging God's gifts. Thank you.